And I would like to start out by saying the views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the speakers only and not necessarily those of KVMR, its board, management, staff, or contributors.
Hi.
Hi. This is Mary St. Mary. You're tuned into KVMR FM, Nevada City, 105.1 FM Truckee and KVMR.org. Today, for a half hour, we are going to focus on the battle for KUSF, and I'd like to welcome Alan Korn, attorney Alan Korn.
Hi, glad to be here.
Okay, and Erwin from Save KUSF.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. And Kenya, also from KUSF.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. All right, for people and our listeners who are not aware, January 18th, 2011, University of San Francisco shut down San Francisco's only student and community radio station, one that has supported so many artists, and I can say that personally, KUSF. I'm going to say due to the fact that the president of University of California decided to take a $3.75 million offer from Classical Programming Radio Network. KUSF has a 34-year broadcasting history. It broadcasts in 12 different languages. Gives voice to marginalized communities in San Francisco, has had a history of 1,000 or more students. It's one of the leading voices in broadcasting independent music. Anyways, let's just get down because we don't have a whole lot of time. Erwin, how can people get involved?
Well, you know, we've seen since this happened the community of San Francisco coming together and coming out in big numbers at our city hall demonstrations and coming out in big numbers by signing petitions, by showing up to benefits that we've been doing throughout the city. And I think now, you know, almost 6 months into this fight, we've shown and proven that we're not going away and that this is a fight that is worth continuing and that we've made a lot of progress. But no one thought 6 months ago that we'd be here now with the FCC actually showing that they're investigating this sale. So I think that anyone who cares about, you know, maintaining community radio in San Francisco and the sort of larger national trend of losing wonderful college and community stations, the way to get involved is to get out there on the front lines. And you can, you know, join us by keeping up to date with what we're doing, going to Facebook at Save KUSF, spreading the word. I mean, I think that's one of the most important things is to spread the word, because once people sort of hear about it and realize how important these special spots on the left side of the dial are and that now they're sort of being sold off to the highest bidder, it's very, very scary, and especially when a lot of the parties involved, you know, don't represent what these spots on the dial were intended for. So
correct, yeah.
I think that speaks, you know, to everybody who cares about independent media and cares about communities actually having their own voice. And so I think that's why we're seeing so many people wanting to be involved.
Yes, and there's a number of ways you can get involved. I know a lot of people are doing benefits, and I've been asked to do one. I'm glad to do one. You can go to KUSF.org.
SaveKUSF.org.
Yeah. And you guys just went ahead and you're doing an online radio. You're doing KUSF in Exile.
Yeah, that was really, you know, one of the things that's come out of the sort of this terrible situation is that there's been a really beautiful unity between college and community stations around the country. And WFMU, who's been sort of a leading light in how to be a independent community station, reached out to us and they're hosting our online stream. And they were part of a 15-station simulcast that they hosted here at Amoeba a month after we were taken off the air. And that was a really amazing moment to hear 15, you know, other college and community stations all interrupt their programming to play KUSF DJs live on the air and sort of a show of solidarity.
Yeah, really. That's wonderful. And, you know, some often I think when we have these tragedies and then people come together and natural or whatever this Kafka-esque kind of stuff that's going on with the Classical Programming Radio Network and the underhanded way it was gone about. Due to the support you've had, you've been able to hire attorney Alan Korn to put together a petition to deny the sale, in that the sale is not in the public interest and that Classic Public Radio Network has repeatedly violated FCC regulations. Alan, can you comment on that?
Somewhat, yeah. Peter Frank and I, and we had worked together back in the Free Radio Berkeley days, were contacted by the KUSF folks pretty much right after the takeover on January 18th. And I was actually an old KUSF DJ back in the day. I mean,
right.
This is, it's a great resource for the Bay Area, and,
right.
and its loss is really tragic. So, yeah, we put together a petition to deny the sale, and not just us, but a lot of other people who were really upset by this filed objections with the FCC. USF and CPRN, the Classical Public Radio Network that is trying to purchase the station, filed oppositions to our petition. We filed a reply, and then just about a week or two ago, on June 28th, the FCC sent, a 10-page letter? seven-page letter to USF and CPRN. Both were asked, I think it's 15 specific questions, very, very intense questions that they need to respond to the FCC within 30 days. Those questions include, you know, why do you represent that what you're programming, what you intend to program is compliant with FCC rules and regulations. They ask really hard questions about KUSF's destruction of the main studio, their oversight of the network while this classical radio network is operating it. And other issues that we've raised in our petition, including whether or not classical music programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in essence a classical jukebox, whether or not that constitutes an educational programming, which they have to do. It's a non-commercial educational station.
Yeah.
We contend that, you know, 100% jazz, classical, 100% John Cage, whatever it is by itself isn't going to constitute educational programming.
Right.
There has to be public service. There has to be localism and other elements, which KUSF used to provide until January 18th.
Right, and it certainly, again, is not in the public interest because we are a vast community out there, you know. There's a lot of different elements. Thank you, Alan. Kenya, can you tell people why they should care?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is even outside of San Francisco, this threat looms large across the country. So what we're looking at is something equivalent to clear-cutting the left-hand side of the dial. There's companies that are operating as LLCs, but also the nonprofit status and the educational purpose of their partners are just conferred upon them without meeting those requirements. The threat is expanding so quickly. Just in this past year, we've lost KTRU, the station at Rice University. WRVU in Nashville is now under attack. Also WDUQ in Pittsburgh. And we see the same players in each of these deals. There's companies like Public Radio Capital, who's represented in San Francisco as Classical SF.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're fundamentally doing is building a market before the FCC has a chance to evaluate the spirit of what they protect, before the public has a chance to weigh in on airwaves that are protected on their behalf.
Right.
So certainly there's a way to transition, you know, if economic circumstances make universities now all vulnerable. I think Public Radio Capital is equated NCE licenses, which are the educational licenses on the left-hand side of the dial, to beachfront property. They've said that every college station in the country is at risk. So for many of us that have great experiences and look towards independent and authentic voices as part of what we value, you know, these are the things that are happening outside of San Francisco in addition to the plight of KUSF, and it makes it important to set a precedent here in San Francisco where this beautiful grassroots movement has evolved. But, you know, it really applies to your listeners there and Truckee or Nevada City and, you know, to everyone around the country that wants to have a say in what happens to the radio dial.
Right. And again, we're talking about, this is kind of the last, our last stand with free speech, and also giving a voice. What did we talk about? Who knew there was this going on or that going on in our own backyard, as far as the diverse communities and musicians and public service announcements, etc. Irwin.
Yeah.
Okay. What's coming up for that you have for benefits or support or rent parties, or I mean, when you're where your station is, the In Exile, did they donate that space? Do you mind my asking, or is that
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Did they donate that space, or is there?
They gave it to us at a we're broadcasting live out of Light Rail Studios, and okay. They gave us a really amazing deal. They're completely. I mean, that's one of the things that we're seeing too. Is how the sort of larger music community in San Francisco has completely, come together in support, whether it's bands playing benefits or venues still giving us tickets to give away in Exile, and, you know, every venue in town sort of publicly coming in support of the efforts to save KUSF, and people like Light Rail Studios giving us amazing deals to be able to in the interim, while we're waiting on the FCC decision, to have KUSF in Exile. There's some really amazing benefits coming up, including one with the Standells, which is kind of great. I don't know when the last time they played in San Francisco is, sort of garage rock pioneers.
Right.
And it's been pretty cool in our benefits, too, just to see from having, from bands with members who are 20 years old, bands with members who are in their 60s, and I think that also sums up some of what KUSF did, is sort of bridge a lot of those gaps and bring people together, which is the things that music does so well, and that the kind of music in which KUSF was pulling from and playing is the kind of music that spans and crosses generations, socioeconomics, race, gender, sexuality, and to lose that in a city like San Francisco would just be tragic.
Oh yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling that it would happen there. Because I had personal experiences being on KUSF that gave a voice. Again, I would have never been on people that don't get to be on the radio, and and you find out that the people really are about this. They're not about this one only anything that is the same thing redundant over and over again. It just who wants to hear nothing but one thing?
Right. And I mean, I think why some of this is so troubling too is that we've already seen this happen on the commercial side of the dial.
Right.
Like Clear Channel and Entercom have done their thing over there. But now to see the same kind of homogenization and consolidation of the left side of the dial is what's so scary. And what's also really troubling is that some of those for-profit entities are involved in this. To have Entercom, who's owns over 100 stations in the country and is a huge corporate media conglomerate, be one of the parties involved in this sale, is really troubling to me, and I think to most of everybody in San Francisco. And so the other sad part about it is that at this point, they're the only ones who are really coming out ahead. Classical music lovers in San Francisco lost a really good station in terms of having a good frequency where it has far range. Lovers of localism and great music and cultural programming that you can't find anywhere else have lost that.
Right.
But Entercom has come out ahead because they were able to move a classic rock station into a huge San Francisco market and can make a lot of money doing that. And that just doesn't sit right.
Right. And it, don't universities actually own quite a lot already? Does $3.75 million, do they really need that? Does that equate taking away people's freedoms of speech? And this might be a moral question rather than an actually legal question, but I don't know. It just seems like that doesn't
Well, I mean, you raise a good point, Mary. I mean, they are the public airwaves, and the FCC regulates them so that they're used in the public interest. Here, you know, USF, they were sort of a trustee. You know, they were using the airwaves in a manner that served the local community. They had Asian language news programming, programming for the elderly, a lot of new music programming for artists and musicians in the Bay Area who wouldn't otherwise be heard. But you know, it's ultimately up to them to use the license however they want. Mm. If they wanted to broadcast classical music, they could, and in fact, they did. But it, you know, to sell that license and earn a profit of $3.75 million. You know, it's the non-commercial educational side of the spectrum. Now, they are entitled to transfer the license, but only if it's in the public interest. And there's so much that's wrong about this sale, that, and the FCC has taken particular note of that in their letter of inquiry to both USF and this classical network. Because, you know, they do seem to be profiting, you know, from the sale of the airwaves. And it's too bad because they do have a great media studies program, which is all but eviscerated once they get rid of the station, which was a learning lab for the university.
Right.
But also, you know, the manner in which the sale was done, and then the fundamental use of the station, again, as a 24-hour classical jukebox with nothing more, no local service to the community, you know, that's not how the airwaves are to be used, you know, to further the public interest.
Right.
So that's why the FCC is taking a look at this. There's just too much wrong about this, and it's indicative of other transactions just like this that Kenya was mentioning at Rice University and
right.
Now, you know, at in Nashville at Vanderbilt.
And not only is it just legally and morally wrong, can we talk, Irwin, were you there when they came in? They brought in security guards. They didn't tell anybody anything, correct? I'm sorry?
They actually brought in security guards. Actually,
it all has transpired. You know, it really did.
Oh, we got Irwin cutting out. I'm sorry, Kenya, can you talk about that? The way they handled it, which was not diplomatic in any sense of the word.
Sure, and Irwin, as soon as you have a signal, jump back in. But on January 18th, they announced the sale while students were on break. They didn't warn the faculty in media studies program, which, you know, oversees the station in terms of their educational programmatic value, and just sort of performed a sneak attack and didn't speak to the public or the community. So I think Alan mentioned that the station, for example, had Chinese language programming, but it in fact was the only in Cantonese language programming, which helped people become citizens that
right.
they relied upon for their daily news each night.
Right.
And the 12 languages of programming provided this unique public value, which is inimitable, and there was no plan to replace that when this happened. So not only was KUSF run and staffed by volunteers through the goodness of their hearts, but those people weren't even given the consideration to be warned. The public of San Francisco wasn't given the consideration to put a plan in place to provide a solution for this lost resource. And that was a pretty treacherous deal.
Right.
And it's not something, you know, especially